there was a fellow who said, I don't know how to do much, but I know how to do that. And he started that. And I want to abbreviate it a little bit. And I want to find out more about what's going on with it. But he began to pray for one of the most well-known athletes in a certain school who was the quarterback of the football team. And he prayed for him. He got saved this summer. When they showed up for training camp to get ready for the school season football, there was such a change in his life that the majority of the team went to church with him on Sunday. 13 players off of that team came to know Christ as personal Savior. 150-some students now have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior through the testimony of that one to the 13 to the growing to the growing. By one man said, I don't know who these kids are, but I'm going to pray for them. And we want to encourage you to pray for our young people, for our school system as it gets started back. Sunday's back to school day. We'll be recognizing all of our staff that are here. And we're going to be recognizing others in our church that are involved in education and teaching. And then we're going to be looking at a case for Christian education. And that'll come beginning out of Daniel chapter 1. And then we'll move to a couple of other places as well. Tonight in 1 John chapter number 3, I want us to read our text verses. And then I want some answers from you. You said, I love the Lord. Well, why do you love the Lord? And you've had a little bit of a chance to think about it. 1 John chapter 3, beginning in verse number 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Well, we shall see him as he is, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself. That's a personal action, even as he, being God or Christ, is pure. First phrase, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. We haven't done this in a good while, so don't be shy and don't be real quiet about it, all right? I said, why do you love God tonight? We took salvation off the board. You can't say, thank God, or I love God for my salvation. Though we all should, and I think we all do. But you help me tonight. Why is it that you love God? Right here? Provision. Who he is. Somebody else. Tim? His forgiveness. And boy, does Tim need that. Because he loves him. Faithfulness. Miracle working. Hey, right, amen. Always there. Boy, isn't it great to be able to take your load and let him carry it right here? His faithfulness. Bill? For Gabby. Now, Bill, I'm going to tell you something. Don't get choked up over there on me tonight. And Rob's mustache is going back and forth tonight. I see him battling it. He's turning red. But pray for him if you would. But boy, yeah, we do. Thank you, Lord. I know her grandparents do, but the church should. Thank you for our kids and our grandkids. Love him for that. Amen. Good. Good thought. Any others? On the back row. Oh, amen. The rapture of the church. We love him. Thank him for that. These are all great things. Now, I want you to think of something with me. I was reading a story of a little boy. Little boy got the teacher got up, preacher got up and said, God is holy, God is just, God is righteous, God is omnipotent. And he was going through all of them. And he said, God is eternal. And the little boy said, stood up and said, God is not a turtle. Now we know what the preacher said, but the little boy heard something that wasn't said. He got a little confused with it. And sometimes we do that. Sometimes there are parameters or things that we don't quite grasp. And I think one of the things that we don't quite grasp is this. God is love. It's not what he does. It is who he is. Now look at who's writing this book tonight. The man John. Now, John is, it's strange to me that John is writing these things because John is known as the Beloved. John the Beloved. He is known as tonight the Apostle of Love, the one that you could always find close to Christ. In fact, John chapter 13, verse 23, I believe it is the scripture that says that John was the disciple whom Jesus loved. Now, I don't think there was any preferential treatment or partiality, but there, you know, there's with some people, there's just something that clicks and is there. Now, I want us to get a little bit of grasp about John tonight before we go on and fill in some blanks tonight. If you come to the foot of the cross, at the foot of the cross, you find Mary, the mother of Jesus. And Jesus, through all that he has been through, looks down and he sees his mother. But he also sees, standing next to his mother, John, whom he loved. And Jesus said to his mother, "Behold thy son." And he said to John, "Behold my mother." What would he be saying in English? "John, take care of my mom. Mom, John is going to fill in my place." And so John is, it's unusual here that John writes, and suddenly after chapter 1 and chapter 2, John is overwhelmed with the thought of the love of the Lord Jesus. Look with me, if you would, first of all, a call to consider. "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us." The love of God is, it's a wonderful subject that John calls for us to stop and evaluate. This word "behold" that you see here in verse number 1, "behold," it means to see and it means to know. I was reading behind Dwight Pentecost and he likens it to this. He likens it to a flashing red light. If you're in traffic and you come to a flashing red light, what does it mean? It means you come to a stop, and it means that you look each way and you evaluate. You look at the circumstance and the surrounding. How many times? I remember several years ago, a number of years ago, when I was in the youth department down on Laburnum Avenue. Many of you that have lived out there know there was a flashing light and not a stoplight. There's a group of fellows that left Verina High School, came out to where that flashing light was. There was a dump truck that day coming through, and the dump truck driver did not see. He had come that way many times, but his mind was distracted. He did not pay any attention to that blinking red light. And that dump truck loaded with 17 tons of gravel came running through that light just as this young boy pulled out and across that intersection. And it took the lives of those teenage boys. Because he didn't stop, he didn't look, he didn't know. That's the word John is saying. Behold, stop and consider the love of Christ. Behold what manner of love. Evaluate, know, see, understand. So let's look at A, consider the manner of the love. Consider the manner of the love. John is calling for a very earnest inspection. We have to come to a better understanding in order to appreciate the love of Christ. You know, I think sometimes that children, they love their parents, but only as they know how to love them as a child. Most of you, I think, would probably agree, if you understand what I'm saying, it's not until you get older that you understand the love of your parents. You know, you hit that one mark in life when your parents don't know anything, you think. You hit that mark. Those are the days that you are unlovely. But as you mature, you begin to understand. I did not. My parents protected me from some things that I did not. Listen, I didn't know how financially tight things were when they were in Bible college. I just thought it was neat at night when somebody knocked on the door and they brought all of this chicken in big old frozen bags. And I'm thinking, I'm sitting there, second grader, thinking, this is cool. When Mom and Mrs. Wells would come home and they would have all of these boxes of eggs. Maybe that's why I'm into chickens and eggs. I don't know. I just thought it was cool. I thought it was neat. It wasn't until I was older. They took us somewhere, and I don't know if they invited them. I don't know what it was, but we went into a downtown part of Springfield we'd never been in, and we went in this abandoned warehouse-looking building that just had piles of stuff. That's a kid's heaven. Man, I'm going through it all. I'm throwing stuff, and they're saying, well, you could pick some stuff out. And I've told you, in my attic right now, there's a red, white, and blue toy box that I picked out. I didn't know it came from the rejects of a thrift store. But I'm going to tell you something. I didn't understand their love and their provision then. But when I mature and I began to know truth, I understood their sacrifice, and it made my love greater. That's what John's saying. If you don't stop, if you don't inspect, if you don't behold what manner of love the Father, we have to consider. Now look at that word manner. The manner of God's love. The word manner, as used here, it means something that you're not accustomed to. The love of the Father. Now let's jump to another passage of Scripture that we all know. And we know it well. When I stop, you say the next word. For God... Stop right there. For God so loved. It didn't just say, God loved the world. That little two-letter word in there gives you an inclination into the manner of His love. It's a love that we're not accustomed to. It's easy to love some people. It's harder to love others. There's some love that is not normal. You read of the story of people who offer organs for transplant. That is a story of love. Listen, we have been praying and sort of walking from a distance with Heather as she's gone through all the treatments with leukemia in Chicago. But somebody in Spain is the one. She never seen Heather. She never heard, doesn't talk the same language. But she had an abnormal love in her heart, in which she gave of her body, her stem cell, her blood, and it was flown across the ocean and introduced into her body. That's love. I saw not too long ago a mother whose young child had died, brain dead, and they gave the heart to be transplanted to another needy child. And the heart was harvested and placed into another child 3 years ago. And the mother who lost her child just united with the mother and the child that received the heart. And that mother who lost her child when she walked into the room, she's already doing the Pastor Sumter thing. She's already weeping. And the two mothers hug. And the one mother is trying her best to express her thanks. And the mother who gave walked over to a child who is now 2-3 years older and put her hand on that child's chest. And she put her head on that child's chest. And she listened to the heartbeat. And she felt the heartbeat. And she went to her knees. I'm going to tell that story to me seems to be, that's abnormal love. But see, that's what John says Christ has for us. Behold, stop and consider what abnormal love Christ has shown to us. This manner is from, it really has a tendency to say, from another country, from another place. It's important to understand, remember that the scripture says that we love Christ because. Now somebody fill in the rest of it. We love Him because He first loved us. Now it's a lot easier to love somebody who already loves you. But let's turn the table and look over there at Christ. He loved us first. In reality, what do you have to offer Christ tonight? What do you have that He needs? But He loved us anyway. And because He loved us, we in turn love Him. And listen to the different things. We love Him for what He does. Now, I haven't stopped to evaluate each one of them tonight, but we said we love Him for His faithfulness to us. We love Him for His provision to us. We love Him for, and we went through a list of, and most of those things were things that He does for us, and that's why we love Him. But we can't do any of those for Him, and He loves us anyway. That's an abnormal love. That's an out-of-this-world love. He shows us a love that's beyond ordinary. It's not a common love. It's not a love that's of this world. Now, I want you to turn back to Genesis chapter 24. Genesis chapter 24. And in this passage of Scripture, we are reading a love story. Genesis chapter 24. And come, if you would, down to verse. Let's start at verse 54, if we can. Now, Abraham's servant has come and he is choosing a wife for Abraham's son. All right, and here we go. And they did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night. They rose up in the morning, and he said, send me away into my master. And her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days, at the least 10. After that she shall go. And he said unto them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master. And they said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. And they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, thou art our sister. Be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them. And Rebekah rose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way. And Isaac came from away of a well, and where he dwelt in the southern country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And he went, Now, that's not in your translation. That's in mine. He saw her. Now look what happens. And Rebecca lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. That doesn't mean she lit her cigarette, okay? She was riding on a camel. She gets off of the camel when she sees Isaac. Now, notice what happened. They'd never seen each other before. And Isaac looks at her, and she looks at him, and she jumps. Listen, that's a long way to jump off a camel. And she had said unto the servant in verse 65, "What man is that that walketh in the field to meet us?" Ooh, it gets gooey. We just read through a brief love story. Isaac falling into love with Rebecca. We could read the story of Abraham and Sarah the same way. But as fascinating as that love is, as incredible as it is to think he had never seen her, she had never seen him, God knit their hearts together, and the moment that their eyes set, he said, "Wow," and she said, "Who is that?" And then what God did through them. But God's love is so much different than that love. B with this is consider the not just the manner of love, but the messenger of love. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. It's not just Jesus that loved us and gave his body for us. It's the Father. The Father created the plan. The Son submitted to the plan. Now, God is known. God is known through the Bible. Now, we could say, who is the messenger? And we say it's the Father. And there's so many different names. Elohim, the strong one. In original language, that's looking at a plural masculine. It's the first name of God. The first name ever called. In the beginning, God created. That God is Elohim. We come to the second, Jehovah. Jehovah is Lord. It's a proper name, the God of Israel. If we were saying it like it's original, we would be saying Yahweh. But that's a little unusual in the English language. When you hear somebody read a scripture or say the word Yahweh, don't look at them funny. Okay? That just simply know, that's the name Jehovah God or Jehovah Lord. El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one. Adonai, ownership. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord, and this was mentioned tonight, the Lord will provide. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord, our banner. What is that? When I think of the Lord, our banner, I often think of the monument up in D.C. where the Marines are pushing up the flag. The banner is the colors. It's what you march under. God, our banner. In every battle that you see depicted of old time on television or something, you see them going in on horses and they have the American flag and it's up. And through the battle, someone is in charge to keep that up. And they'll give their life to keep that up because it has such value to them. The Lord, our banner. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace. But when the disciples said to Jesus, "Lord, teach us to pray." Wouldn't you think that Jesus would say, when you pray, go to Jehovah God. Go to Jehovah Nissi. Go to Jehovah Shalom. Go to the... No, that's not... But that's, he doesn't use any of those names. They said, "Lord, teach us to pray." And he said, "Okay, when you pray, pray this. Our Father." He is pointing them to that love that the Lord, that God has for them. So consider the manner of love, consider the messenger of love, and see, consider the third part of this, consider the method of love. He bestowed upon us. This is something that cannot in any way be replicated. It cannot be reproduced. With the exclamation, he says, "Behold," stop and draw attention to the method. Now, there's a program on now that I think is fascinating. It's a man thing. It's not the Hallmark Channel. Too much death on that channel. I walk in, my wife has one of those tear-jerking Hallmarks on, and I go, "Who's going to die?" You know it's a Hallmark. There's a program on, it's called this, How It's Made. Now, there wasn't a lady in here that went like this, all the moon went, "Yeah." How It's Made, and it shows how things are fashioned, the methods of it. He says, "Behold, what manner or method of love." Study the method. Know the method. We have here tonight the unearthly love. James says it this way in 1:17, "Every good and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, of whom is no variable, neither shadow of turning." It's an amazing love. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. Not from each other, but from above. We see an unselfish love. "For God so loved the world that He gave." There's no other place that you see a love like this. An unending love. In Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 3, "The Lord hath appeared unto me of old, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love." It will never stop. I don't understand all of this. Can't grasp it all. Parts of it I can, but an unending love. Regardless of what I do, God still loves me. And understand this tonight, God still loves the sinner. It's not that He just loves the Christians. He loves the sinners the same way. An unending love, an unconditional love. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 8 talks about that. An unexplainable love. Ephesians 3:19, "And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge." We can't explain this manner of love. Undeserved love. "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." An unconquerable love. Now listen to these verses, a little lengthy. Romans chapter 8. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin of death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh." Now it continues on in the same chapter, verse 35. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" And then he lists things off. "Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter." Nay, in all these things, I really haven't grasped this verse. I have told you, greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. I told you, we are more than conquerors. But notice the phrase that is attached to that. We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. And so the only way we can overcome this world and be conquerors is through Him that loved us. "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor the things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature," get it out, "shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Look back at that opening verse. "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. The second thing here, first was a call to consider. Second is this, a cause to celebrate. This chapter 3 and verse 1, I think, explains some of our issues in the world versus Christianity. The world is against Christianity. Exclamation point. Maybe as at no other time of our history. If you did not realize this, we are the minority. If you read that verse out, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Now we finish with this tonight. There are three ways to get into a family. There's, first of all, the life principle. The life principle. That principle is that you are born into the family in the usual way. We have had babies added to our church recently who came in the usual life principle way. But there's another way to get into the family. That's the law principle. Now, the law principle is this. You can be adopted. You can be adopted and brought into a family, and you have legal standing, and you have name, and you can never be cast out of that family. There's the life principle, there's the law principle, and the third is there is the love principle. The love principle. That's what we were reading a moment ago with Isaac and Rebecca. The love principle, you can be married into a family. But I want you to know that, notice this tonight. To make sure that we're really in the family, that we're truly placed there in His family, God uses all three principles and gives us biblical word that we can have confidence with in it. For instance, the life principle. John chapter 3 and verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. We were there Sunday. That's the life principle, born again. But in Romans 8:15, Paul writes it this way, for we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We can call him Father through that adoption. That's the law principle. I'm in the family by birth. I'm in the family by adoption. And then the love principle, Romans chapter 7 and verse 4, wherefore, my brethren, ye are also become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to one another, even to him who is raised from the dead. And God pictures, Christ pictures the church as being his bride, and that fulfills the love principle. And so God set forth in his scripture three ways of being in the family, all of them having to do with love, to give us confidence tonight of one thing. Behold, this unusual, unprecedented, unexplained love that the Father had for me, that I should be called a son of God. I want to tell you something tonight. To be authentic in Christianity, you have to experience and know the manner of love. What a beautiful, beautiful scripture for us. Let's pray together tonight. Father, thank you so much. Not one of us here tonight merited your love. And you loved us when we were unlovely. And before we ever thought to love you. And there's some here tonight who lived out days and years of their life when they were adamantly against you. But you loved us. And you brought us into your family. You brought us by life principle.